Welcome to the program God and Country, a program that looks at current political, social, economic issues in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about the white privilege movement, or rather this new white privilege political ideology. And I'm doing an expose on this subject by request from one of my listeners. I always appreciate requests for certain programs because you all have your ears close to the ground and you know what topics need to be addressed in the church. Now, I've not fully followed this new rhetoric of white privilege. I've been aware that a number of conservative black leaders have spoken against the slogan. A while back, I did program 63 about racism, about how there is only one race, the human race, and how this constant dividing people up according to the amount of pigment in their skin is absolute nonsense. And many social leaders, in crusading against racism, actually perpetuate the division of people according to skin color. They are, in fact, the biggest racists of them all, because they believe in this false doctrine of racism. The belief that humanity is divided into distinct biological groups called races, and that people should be seen and judged according to these racial differences. Now, you know that Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party believed in the superiority of the white Aryan race. But their main error was in their eugenic belief that there are different races, rather than one human race. And their belief that all people should be judged, identified, and delineated by their race. And that the main problem with the world is conflict over race. Now, many of today's so-called anti-racists are saying the exact same words that Adolf Hitler said in his autobiography, Mein Kampf. And they don't even know it. They don't realize that they have fallen into the error of racism, all the while thinking that they are trying to do something to help the people of their skin color. Our own government takes a census every 10 years and asks people to record the amount of pigment they have in their skin, whether they are more white or black or Hispanic or Asian or Indian. Who cares? What an insult. And what's the purpose? And what is the difference between that and the Nazis making every Jew wear a yellow star? Our own government is dividing people up according to the slight differences in the pigment of their skin, or so-called ethnic origin. Our own federal government is promoting racist ideology. The universities are promoting racism, having abandoned the Word of God, and the biblical message that man's problem is sin, and that you're either transformed or born again by Christ, or you're lost. They have instead taken on false moral crusades, such as Marxism, that the root problem in our nation is class warfare, or feminism, that the root problem is male dominance, or environmentalism, that the root problem is tampering with nature, or racism, that racial conflict is at the root of all problems. And I believe in program 63, I mentioned Professor Derrick Bell at Harvard, who came up with critical race theory, that black people are by nature more social and therefore more adapted to communism. White people are more predatorial in nature and more adapted toward free market capitalism. He taught that the Constitution of the United States is a white people concept of government, which is foreign to black people and should be rejected by black people. And that the only way to get rid of prejudice is to rewrite our founding documents. Critical race theory teaches that you cannot argue or reason with white people because their whiteness is ingrained in their thinking. This theory was simply a way to spread and justify communism in the black community. Just like Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam used racism to spread and justify Islam in black communities. Are these men servants of God? No, they are hidden reefs in your love feast. Shepherds feeding themselves, clouds without water, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Jude 12. Now, in program 63, I also discussed how Christians don't see the problems of the world through the lens of race. We do not consider family genetic differences as a significant distinction between people. We don't try to find power in our race or in our heritage, whether that be white power or black power or Asian power. We don't try to find our self-worth in our ethnicity. We don't separate ourselves according to these genetic differences. And in that program, I discussed that the real agenda behind much of the so-called anti-racism is actually pride, prejudice, bitterness, scapegoating, and victimization. The KKK, the New Black Panther Party, are populated with losers who can find no other way to make themselves feel important than to use the color of their skin as a scapegoat for all of their problems. Problems that they themselves have brought upon themselves. And rather than helping others and condescending to men of low estate, they gloat over and they criticize others. Now, concerning this new white privilege rhetoric, it is very subtle, and the wording is cleverly deceptive, because there is the truth of white privilege. Any ethnic minority in any country always has obstacles to overcome. If I was a white European trying to make a life in Japan or India, there would be some ethnic prejudice against me that I would have to overcome. Not because the entire population is against ethnic minorities, but there is always a small percentage of any people who are in the majority who are small-minded. I'm helping my friend, a black evangelical Christian, run for Congress here in New Jersey. I'm part of the campaign committee, and I've been given the title Faith Coalition Coordinator. And so it's my job to go and talk to every single church leader in the district about Anthony Wilkinson. During the Memorial Day parade, I was passing out campaign material for Anthony. And one woman said to me, "I'm not voting for him. He's black." Now, she said that just to be mean and ornery. And I suspect that she is a supporter of the white Democrat that Anthony is running against. But there are ignorant people like that in the white community. They try to find their identity and their superiority in their race. And these people are disparagingly called white trash. They're very low-minded people with huge inferiority complexes. Now, remember when the Jews were in the minority in Persia? Haman, a Persian bureaucrat, hated the Jews and plotted to kill them. And he said to the king in Esther chapter 3, verse 8, "There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their ways are different from those of every other people. Let it be decreed that they be destroyed." There are always evil people like Haman in the world. Or the Jews when they were in Egypt. The Egyptians made the Jews live in the land of Goshen because shepherds were loathsome to the Egyptians. Genesis 46:34. Now, you think that the Jews would have learned from this experience, even from the law of Moses, which commanded the Jews to love the foreigner. But the Jews themselves became bigots. In the book of Acts, whenever Paul said that he was going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, the Jews, out of envy, stirred up a riot. There is racism in every culture, in the Jewish culture, in the Asian culture, in the black culture, in the white culture. Racism is one of the sins of the flesh, and it's something that ethnic minorities in every culture have to deal with. But in regard to white privilege, the question is not whether there is some white privilege or prejudice. We know that there is. But the question is, how much of it is there? And is it a significant problem? And if it's there, what is the biblical way to deal with it? But first, what is white privilege? Here is the official sociological definition. White privilege is a set of societal privileges existing in predominantly white societies. that benefit white people beyond what is commonly experienced by people of color in the same social, political, or economic circumstances. The term denotes both obvious and less obvious unspoken advantages that white people may not recognize they have, which distinguishes it from overt bias or prejudice. These include cultural affirmation of one's own worth, presumed greater social status, and freedom to move, buy, work, play, and speak freely. Well, is this true? Is white privilege keeping down the black culture, or any other culture, or are there other significant factors? We will answer that in a minute, but first, who is behind the white privilege rhetoric? Where is this coming from? The phrase white privilege is nothing new. The concept has been kicked around in academic circles since the 1960s. Colleges have courses and majors in cultural studies, race studies, and they need something to talk about. So all sorts of theories have been put forth exploring white privilege. But the concept of white privilege has gotten more publicity lately since Tim Wise, author of White Like Me, has been going around the country putting on white privilege conferences. Walter Williams, a black political commentator, writes the following about these conferences. In conference workshops, school teachers are taught that they need to insert the evils of white privilege into their lessons. Speaker John Powell, a Berkeley law professor, told the audience that race is driving almost everything that's happening in the country. Hurricane Katrina is a disaster in New Orleans because they took money away from protecting the levees because the levees were protecting black people. Another conference speaker taught the audience that white privilege was invented by white capitalists to keep the working class in their place. Another speaker blamed white privilege on the evils of Christian values and Christian institutions. Walter Williams calls all this a devious indoctrination and says, I can't imagine people being stupid enough to believe all that was said at the white privilege conference. This white guilt has to stop, and that is why I have on my website a certificate of amnesty. Now, if you go to Walter Williams' website, you can get the certificate of amnesty. You can put it on your wall. And it reads, I, Walter Williams, do declare full and general amnesty and pardon to all persons of European ancestry for both their own grievances and those of their forebears against my people. Therefore, from this day forward, Americans of European ancestry can stand straight and proud, knowing they are without guilt, and thus obliged not to act like damn fools in their relationship with Americans of African ancestry. Now, I hope you appreciate Walter Williams' humor. Kevin Jackson is another black commentator. His blog is called The Black Sphere. And he has a piece called White Privilege Explained. And he hits the nail right on the head. He sees the whole conference as actually being a white supremacy conference because it makes apologies for white supremacy, which is a false racist assumption to begin with. To speak of white privilege is to say that whites are better than blacks. So Jackson writes, apparently white privilege makes white people's senses better. This may be why white people get more out of life. And this is why recently some guilty white folks pay crazy dollars to attend the National White Privilege Conference. Oh, and by the way, it's not black people putting on these conferences. It's white people. Now, in addition to these conferences, you have the liberal media pushing articles about white privilege, Salon, the Huffington Post. The Hollywood entertainment crowd is tripping all over themselves to agree with white privilege, just like they trip all over themselves to be first to be for abortion or gay marriage. They follow whatever they perceive to be the politically correct movement on any given day. Now, what is the Christian response to the white privilege ideology? I'm a white guy. It's easy for someone to say, I don't know what it's like to be an ethnic minority. Well, I do know what it's like as a Christian being a minority. and receive an even greater persecution than ethnicity in that I follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You'll be hated by all men, on account of my name." And there are many parallels. The biblical truths that deal with anti-Christian bigotry apply to other forms of bigotry. And the Bible teaches us a lot about the games people play to hide their sin by blaming others. Proverbs 28:13, "Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." And hiding sin and shifting blame is done by whites, blacks, Asians, Hispanics, red and yellow, black and white. They are all sinners in his sight. First, we should acknowledge the existence of white privilege. As I said earlier, because of sin, there is always an ethnic majority versus an ethnic minority thing going on. But I question its significance in being the root cause for social problems. Practically, what white privilege is all about is an attempt to explain a disparity between the white and the black culture, which is not a clear-cut division. But statistically, whites have higher income, higher levels of education, live in better neighborhoods, and the white privilege ideology explains this as whites giving each other these better jobs, these better college placements, better housing, and whites denying these things to minorities. Is that true? Or are these disparities caused by other factors? Don Lemon, who's a black commentator for CNN, stirred up a hornet's nest a while back when he said that if blacks want to fix the problems in the black communities, stop having children out of wedlock. 72% of children born in black communities are born to unwed mothers. And not following God's law and plan for the family is by far the greater determiner of future poverty. If you break God's law and commit immorality, you will be poor. Read Proverbs chapter 6. And God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, people don't want to hear that message, that my family or my people are paying the price for immorality, or that this is God's punishment on the culture that is murdering children through abortion. So liberal sociologists today even blame the abortion rate and the out-of-wedlock birth rate in black communities on the economy. And whose fault is a bad economy? The whites. See, this is human nature. Nobody wants to blame themselves. And civic leaders, politicians, preachers who become popular are the ones who tell people that they're victims. But a people group will never cure their ills until they stop blaming their sin on everything else beside their own moral choice. Prejudice, bigotry exists. But you and I need to see it as only keeping us down 1%. Our sin is the 99% of what's keeping us down. Because if you're obedient to the Lord, God will bless you and even cause your enemies to fall before you. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And even if you are an ethnic minority, the opposition of evil men will be for your good. My own son was the object of racial prejudice. He's probably the most qualified person for a certain job, but an Asian student got the job instead of him. The Asian student later told my son that the interviewer said to him, "We need more Asians." Now, some people would sue or feel victimized, but that's the attitude of a loser. See, a winner thinks, good, the denial of an opportunity will inspire me to start my own company rather than work for others, and in the end, I will be better off. As one writer once said, the only good luck many great men ever had was being born with the ability and determination to overcome bad luck. What really concerns me about this white privilege ideology is the negative psychological effect it can have on a minority community. If you go through life thinking that you're a victim, you will never succeed. And if I were the devil, and I wanted to destroy a people group, I would put into the minds of their young people that they're all victims, and that they deserve special treatment. I would give them government checks so they wouldn't have to work, because that would destroy their souls. Let me give you two more reasons for problems in the black community. First, government policy. Now, I'm not contradicting myself by shifting the blame to the government. The major factor is always personal moral choice. But government policy can contribute to corrupting a people. Back in the 50s and the 60s, the blacks were moving into the middle class in record numbers. But everything started to change when liberal government programs stepped in supposedly to help the blacks. Government checks replaced husbands, welfare dependency soared, and a vicious cycle of government dependency began. And government dependency also affects whites. There are drug-infested, broken-home, white communities all across America. The second problem is the preachers. As the pulpits go, so goes the people group. And black communities have had men who have claimed to be reverends, but they preach a message of victimization and of protest, which is totally contrary to the biblical message of overcoming evil with good, as Paul taught in Romans 12, and as Peter taught in 1 Peter, that we're to win the culture over to our side by our excellent behavior. And in this, the conservative evangelical black ministers are in solidarity with conservative white evangelical ministers. I have great fellowship with Bible-believing black ministers. Fundamental Christian blacks and fundamental Christian whites agree on the issues. But we're both up against false ministers destroying the society. The whites have their liberal clergymen, pro-gay, pro-abortion, communist theology, liberation theology, and the blacks have their share of charlatans. And the real persecuted minority are the black and the white Christians and their ministers who are obedient to the Word of God. What do we make up, 10 or 20% of the churches? At the most. Now finally, do you know who is really saying that white privilege is a bunch of nonsense? Conservative black leaders. Those who have a biblical worldview concerning the nature of man, the nature of sin, and the real problem in this world. As I said earlier, Walter Williams, the black economist, said only damn fools would believe such a thing as white privilege. Shelby Steele, a black author and educator, has written the book, White Guilt, How Blacks and Whites Together Destroy the Promise of Civil Rights. He states that whites do blacks no favors wringing their hands about white privilege. I grew up in segregation, so I really know what racism is. I went to segregated schools. I bow to no one in my knowledge of racism, which is one of the reasons why I say that white privilege is not a problem. The real problem is black responsibility. Racism is about 18th on a list of problems that black America faces. White preoccupation with guilt and compensation, such as affirmative action, is actually a subtle form of racism. One of the things that is clear about white privilege, and so many of the arguments for diversity that pretend to be compensatory, is that they advantage whites. They make the argument that whites can solve black people's problems. The problem with that is that you reinforce white supremacy and black dependence. Steele says that white privilege is a disingenuous idea. In fact, now there is minority privilege. Also, Thomas Sowell, a black economist, he writes about white privilege. Quote, achievement by overcoming obstacles is a special threat to the left's vision of the world, and so it must be magically transformed into privilege through rhetoric. Bill Cosby, He wrote the book Come On, People, On the Path from Victims to Victors. Cosby says they argue that the black poor are helpless victims of white supremacy and institutional racism. In other words, it's not their fault. The deck is stacked just too high. We have to stop these excuses. And then there are other black conservative leaders, such as Ben Carson and Juan Williams and Star Parker and Alan West and Tim Scott and Gary Cobb. And there are dozens of conservative black websites. We need to listen to these men, for they have a biblical view of sin and of guilt and the right means of redemption through repentance. The problem with white privilege ideology is that it is a very subtle false doctrine, subtle because it does contain a modicum of truth. We are affected adversely by other people's prejudices. But that truth is misplaced in God's hierarchy of truth. And this is what Satan always does. He doesn't teach direct lies. He inverts the hierarchy of God's law. Choice is good, but Satan puts choice above the right of the child to live. Love is another good, but Satan puts love above God's law concerning gender and marriage. Charity is good, but Satan puts charity above people's right to the labor of their own hands. False doctrine is always an inversion of the hierarchy of God's law. And false doctrine always destroys people's lives. It destroys families. It destroys neighborhoods. It destroys cities. It destroys whole nations. And that's why we abhor it, and that's why we oppose it. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he, the minister of God, will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. You can listen to this program again or download it at our website, godandcountryradio.org. Contact us and we will send you a free CD of this program. The website, you can also email us with questions, comments, insights. That is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you make God and Country a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your truth that sets us free. May we discern between the lies of Satan and your truth. For we know that you have no greater joy than to see your children walk in the truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.